Looking for your next thrifting experience? Check out the new Goodwill Columbus location in Westerville. Our new store is full of the latest secondhand selections with options rotating daily. From warm weather clothes to home decor, you may find your new favorite items just in time for spring. Each purchase helps us create opportunities throughout Central Ohio. It's shopping that looks good, feels good, and does good. Come shop at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Banfield, and this is Drop Dead Serious. Thank you for subscribing if you already have. If you haven't, please do me a solid, hit the subscribe button. It's free, fun, and also you'll get all the updates that you need, especially in the Lindsay Clancy case, because we're down to the wire. I mean, we are down to the wire. It is all over but the deliberating at this point. The testimony in Lindsay Clancy's murder trial, basically wrapping up, but not before the defense made a very bold move, demanded a mistrial. They demanded a mistrial. I'll tell you why in a second. Also, the judge agreed prosecutors went too far, crossed a line. I'll tell you what happened there as well. And also, multiple prosecution experts gave the jury two different diagnoses while at the same time reaching the same conclusion. So there's a lot to talk about because there are so many people so invested in this case. And the momentum has been like a ball rolling down the hill that's gathering snow and getting bigger and bigger. And everybody's joining on like sticky snowflakes, and people are freaking out one way or the other. Some people are so upset. They're going to court wearing pink, supporting Lindsay Clancy, an accused triple child murderer. When have you heard that before? Different circumstances in this case. Other people are so upset that anybody supports an accused triple child murderer. On both sides of this, people are taking pot shots. In fact, if I need to explain this any better, it could be done with what happened outside of the courtroom. Things are so heated that even Lindsay Clancy's defense attorney kind of just took the piss out of one of the commentators, one of the internet commentators who, I guess, was saying some things that either were unfair, untrue, or unsavory in the mind of Kevin Reddington, Lindsay's attorney. And he let him have it out in front of court. Take a look.
You.
Yes.
Let me tell you something.
Yes.
I don't want to talk to you again.
Why?
Because you are a biased weasel.
Not at
okay?
all. That's you ridiculous,
are.
Kevin.
Ridiculous.
Why? Yes.
Go read what you say about my case. Go read about that guy with the bald head yesterday.
That doctor
you said
yesterday,
that he was the jury was eating it up.
They were.
Level.
They were. You said
stay
outside he was
me.
A nice
stay
guy.
Stay away from me.
Kevin, you said outside that
wrong
he was a
guy.
Good guy.
Wrong guy.
Why?
I was talking about somebody else.
He was a good witness.
Stay away from me.
Kirk was a good witness, Kevin. You said it yourself.
Okay, so you can see, yeah, as you get down to the wire, things get more tense. And even the attorneys can sometimes say, enough. So I got a lot to unpack here from Monday and Tuesday in the courtroom. I'm recording this on Tuesday, August 25th. And I want to begin with the prosecution's first rebuttal experts, Dr. Avram Mack. That's a psychiatrist. Dr. Mack evaluated Lindsay in 2026, roughly 3 years after her kids were killed. So this is after it all happened. He's doing the assessment, right? And he appeared in court on Monday, and he did so by Zoom. And he told the jury that, in his opinion, Lindsay had suffered a major depressive episode and possibly anxiety. Now, while that sounds awful, that doesn't rise to the level of insanity. No, you got to be in psychosis for that. And depression and anxiety is only a few steps along the way to psychosis, which is like next level. And he's not saying that. Yeah, he says the evidence did not suggest to him that Lindsay had been psychotic or delusional. And Lindsay's lawyer, Kevin Reddington, went after him, right? Nice conclusion there, pal. Let me get after you, my words. But that's the cross-examination sort of vibe, right? He took Dr. Mack back through Lindsay's medical records and essentially laid out every single warning sign that appeared in all of the months and the weeks and days leading up to the killings. Lindsay couldn't sleep. Lindsay was severely anxious. She felt overwhelmed. She could no longer experience any pleasures in life. She had suicidal thoughts, unusual thoughts, and intrusive thoughts about harming her kids. Dr. Mack acknowledged those symptoms. He did not deny that Lindsay was indeed sick, but he would not agree that those symptoms proved that she was suffering from postpartum, say it with me, psychosis.
Good news! Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
If your service light's on, trust the techs with the training.
That's us.
270 hours with zero complaining. They train under the hood. They train down in the pit. 270 hours means their training's legit. It's the smart choice for smart folk who care for their steed. So trust the instant oil change that starts with Valvoline. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Change wisely.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction, to facelifts, and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
So this is what they're after, right? These experts are all needling each other. I think she was in psychosis. I don't think she was in psychosis. I think she was in psychosis. No, I don't think so. So the jury's left with these doctors who all have the great bona fides, and they list them all out in court. And then the jury's got to decide, well, which one do I believe more? Which one of these experts do I believe more? And a lot of that comes from being in the room and hearing them answer certain questions and then have to admit, okay, well, yeah, I didn't really think of that. Like those are the kinds of things that help the jury get to which doctor. And you've been there, right? Like you've had medical professionals where you're like, what a jackass or something like that. Or that is so, the bedside manner is so bad. I don't even think you're looking at me. I think you're looking at a chart and then you're diagnosing me. I'm going to somewhere else. You've had that. So you can do that yourself. And the jury kind of has to do this now too. So Lindsay's lawyer, Kevin Reddington, continued pushing the buttons of Dr. Mack up there on the stand on whether he had underestimated the severity of what was happening to Lindsay in all of his analyses, right? And Reddington pointed out that other doctors and experts had considered diagnoses along the bipolar spectrum, including bipolar 1 and bipolar 2, those disorders. But Dr. Mack stood his ground and stood by his diagnosis of major depressive episode. Yes, bad. Major depressive episode is bad, but it doesn't give you an out for killing your kids. So Lindsay's lawyer also questioned the timing of Dr. Mack's evaluation. He didn't examine Lindsay immediately before the killings. He didn't examine Lindsay right after the killings. He first evaluated her years after the killings of her kids. Very different time, very different mental headspace as well. And Lindsay's lawyer also challenged Dr. Mack's experience. But like, who are you as a doctor if you're going to evaluate criminal responsibility? And he also raised the fact that prosecutors had hired him. You're being paid, right? Prosecutors are paying you, right, Dr. Mack? They do that in every case. That's what happens. Hired guns are hired guns, and you're allowed to point that out in court. Defense does it. Prosecutors do it. They hire their guns, and each side gets to say, you're a hired gun, aren't you? You're being paid. You have a different motive for being here rather than just altruism, right? It's a lot to say that about doctors because they all have codes of ethics, but one of the more important admissions came when Kevin Reddington, Lindsay's lawyer, questioned Dr. Mack about the psychological testing that was performed on Lindsay. Dr. Mack had to acknowledge that the test results did not suggest Lindsay was lying or pretending to have symptoms. So big admission. She wasn't faking. When prosecutors had the opportunity to redirect and question Dr. Mack again, they tried to sort of rehabilitate here and reinforce what his conclusion was. And Dr. Mack explained that a doctor can review medical records and listen to other clinicians and consider what family members observed, but then still reach an independent diagnosis. And in his opinion, he said Lindsay's symptoms fit major depressive disorder, but that they did not fit psychosis. It's really important. And don't forget, this is the last word. Yes, there's cross-exam and the defense gets to chip away at that, but these are the last experts. You don't get to bring on more defense experts. And then prosecution wasn't done. They brought another one out, Dr. Kirk Halbrun, a psychologist. Again, that's a hired gun for the prosecution. Dr. Halbrun actually diagnosed Lindsay differently. He believed she had bipolar 2 disorder, complicated by severe insomnia and the medications that she was taking. Again, bad, right? You're hearing that. You're like, well, there it is. You know, case over. She's definitely insane. No. That is a conclusion that doesn't get you to psychosis. It gets you below. So while it sounds bad, what Dr. Halbrun says, it's not bad enough. So the prosecutors present one expert who diagnoses a major depressive episode and then another expert who diagnosed bipolar 2 disorder. They're two different diagnoses. Like, you're the prosecutor. You probably shouldn't have two different doctors with two different conclusions because the defense is going to have a third conclusion. And don't you just want to tell the jury, well, this is what we think. And that's what they think. But you're going to have to say, well, this is what we think, and this is what we think, and then that's what they think. Because what the jury might end up doing, and they often do, is they throw all of them out. It's like reasonable doubt. I can't believe any of you because you're all fighting. So I'm just going to go with my gut and all the other stuff I heard. And that can hew to the defense, and it can hew to the prosecution, but only the jurors know that. So both the prosecutors, witnesses, while different, you know, diagnosis under their belts, they did arrive at the same conclusion that the prosecutors needed. Whatever Lindsay's diagnosis was, A or B, they don't believe that she was psychotic when she killed the kids. Maybe she was A, maybe she was B, but she was not C. And you need C to be insane. I mean, in closings, maybe they can hammer that down. But Dr. Halbrun told the jury that he considered two possible explanations. The first one was the defense's explanation. Lindsay was experiencing acute psychosis and acting in response to a commanding voice. And the second was that Lindsay was profoundly depressed, wanted to die, and believed her children would suffer if she left them behind alone without her, even with the dad alive. Dr. Halbrun said the evidence overwhelmingly supported the second explanation. In other words, he believes that Lindsay killed the children, not because psychosis stripped away her grasp on reality, right from wrong, understanding the nature and consequences of her actions, understanding if she could comport with law. Yeah, no. He said, no. That's not what she was doing. She wasn't in gripped by psychosis and unable to do all that. It was instead that she just decided to die and couldn't bear the thought of leaving the kids behind. And this doctor described Lindsay as desperate and deeply unwell, but still able to understand that killing her kids was wrong and still capable of controlling her behavior, which is that third prong in this whole defense. First is, I don't understand right from wrong. Second is, I can't understand the nature and consequences of my actions. And number three is, I can't control myself according to law. Like, I can't follow the law. I'm so out of control, I can't comport my behavior with the law. And so basically he's saying, oh yeah, she could. She totally could. And to support that opinion, Dr. Heilbrunn focused on the choices that prosecutors say Lindsay made in the roughly 18 to 20 minutes that her husband Patrick Clancy was out of the house. Critical choices. He pointed to the decision about where the children would be killed, what she would use to strangle those children, and the order in which she would kill each child. This is really hard to talk about. If you're triggered, I'm so sorry, and maybe turn the volume down. But these questions are really important. The grisly, awful nature of it is important if you're trying to get inside the mind of someone to determine if they're legally insane or not legally insane. And Dr. Heilbrunn addressed Lindsay's account that she felt as though she was not herself during the killings. He said that that feeling could have been what's known as peritraumatic disassociation. Essentially, it's a sense of detachment or unreality during an intensely traumatic event. But dissociation is not automatically, say it with me, psychosis. You got to be up there. You got to have the psycho. You got to reach that bar in order for the legal protection of insanity, not guilty by reason of insanity, to kick in. A person can feel disconnected from herself or her surroundings without losing the ability to distinguish right from wrong, or comport your behavior with the law, or understand the nature and consequences of your actions. And then Dr. Heilbrunn turned to what may be the single most important claim in the defense's case. Lindsay's report that she heard a male voice telling her this was her final opportunity to kill the children and then herself. Dr. Heilbrunn questioned whether that was truly a command hallucination. He found it highly unusual that the alleged voice appeared only around the time of the killings, lasted for approximately 18 minutes. Based on the information that he reviewed, it wasn't something that Lindsay tried to resist. That's important, that last part. She didn't try to resist that male voice saying, this is your last chance to kill yourself and your kids, you know, for the greater good. She didn't try to resist. Again, can she comport with the law? His theory was that it may have been an intrusive thought, but probably not an external voice produced by psychosis. An intrusive thought can be unwanted, disturbing, completely inconsistent with who a person believes herself to be, but having an intrusive thought does not necessarily mean that a person has lost contact with reality, or again, the ability to control her actions, comport with the law. Understand the nature and consequences of your actions, know right from wrong, and comport with the law. Dr. Heilbrunn said a true command hallucination, depending on its severity and its effect, could support the defense's argument that Lindsay was acting under the control of psychosis, but he said it just wasn't. It wasn't a true command hallucination, in his opinion. He also addressed Lindsay's reported statement to her children as she strangled them. According to his testimony, Lindsay recalled telling them, quote, go to God. Go to God, baby. He said Lindsay believed that she and the children would eventually be together with God. That testimony led prosecutors into an area that created one of the biggest courtroom clashes of the trial. The questioning shifted towards Lindsay's Catholic upbringing, the church's teachings about suicide and whether suicide is considered a mortal sin. Kevin Reddington objected and accused prosecutors of deliberately injecting religion into the trial.
You know that this whole idea of injecting Roman Catholic faith, the concept of mortal sin, into this trial occurred, I don't even remember now, about a week ago. And I objected, but before I could get the objection out, Your Honor had us at the sidebar at the same time and very forcefully in my opinion, indicated to the jurors that they should not consider that to any degree. At the time, I put on record the fact that I did not feel that I felt that the court's instructions were sufficient. They were forceful. They were right on point. And we moved forward without a motion for a mistrial. I made a tactical decision. But unfortunately, at this point, it's a concern I have because this is just over the top. It's the same thing again, talking about religion, talking about heaven, talking about killing people and the impact or the effect that it would have on Lindsay as well as her children. The fact that this is not the first time that it occurred during the trial and the prosecution has previously brought up the concept of mortal sin, based on your ruling in the past, in conjunction with the fact that they brought it up again, I believe it was intentional misconduct, and I feel that the court should grant a motion for mistrial.
Well, that was enough for Lindsay's lawyer to hit the proverbial roof and go nuclear, because there is no more nuclear option than to ask the judge to declare a mistrial. And that questioning, that whole mortal sin business, that got Lindsay's lawyer up on his feet saying mistrial, asking for a mistrial. It didn't work. Judge refused to end the trial, but did agree that the prosecution's questioning the mortal sin business was inappropriate. It's the second time they brought up mortal sin. They did it with Patrick Clancy's mom. Said, are you aware that murder is a mortal sin according to the Bible? Like, I don't know where that was getting them with her. She didn't do it. But this is the second time the prosecutors pulled the whole mortal sin into the courtroom, and it was a bad moment. Not bad enough, though, for what Kevin Reddington wanted, which was toss this whole result out. You can't unring this bell in front of this jury. Judge said no.
Looking for your next thrifting experience? Check out the new Goodwill Columbus location in Westerville. Our new store is full of the latest secondhand selections with options rotating daily. From warm weather clothes to home decor, you may find your new favorite items just in time for spring. Each purchase helps us create opportunities throughout Central Ohio. It's shopping that looks good, feels good, and does good. Come shop at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
If your service light's on, trust the techs with the training.
That's us.
270 hours with zero complaining. They train under the hood. They train down in the pit. 270 hours means their training's legit. It's the smart choice for smart folk who care for their steed. So trust the instant oil change that starts with Valvoline. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Change wisely.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Kevin Reddington also forced Dr. Heilbrun to acknowledge facts that do not fit neatly into the image of a cold, detached killer. Before January 24th, Lindsay was widely regarded as a loving and attentive mother. She was playing with her children in the backyard, just hours before she was killing them in the basement. Dr. Heilbrun agreed that Lindsay loved her children and was strongly attached to her children, but he did not see that as evidence of psychosis still. In fact, he incorporated that love and that attachment into his theory of the crime. He says he believes that Lindsay was so determined to die and so unwilling to leave her children behind with just Patrick, her husband, not a guy that she disliked or that was violent or mean or a bad father in any fashion, but so unwilling to leave her children behind in this world without her, that she decided they had to die with her. Dr. Heilbrun also acknowledged just how serious Lindsay's suicide attempt was. So again, this is the prosecution's witness. And on the stand, he is acknowledging this was a serious, bona fide suicide attempt. She was definitely trying to kill herself, according to this witness, this prosecution witness. And remember what the prosecution had to say about the suicide attempt? It was fake. She didn't mean to kill herself. Those lacerations were shallow. She threw herself out the window, but not in a way that she'd really die. And yet now they've got their own witness on the stand and clearly saying good things for them according to psychosis and their version of the case. But oops, their own witness for the prosecution is now saying, yeah, that suicide attempt was real. That wasn't a fake. So that's interesting. Dr. Heilbrun said that more than 3 years later, Lindsay still requires one-on-one supervision because she's still a suicide risk. I mean, I get it, right? And once you start to realize you've killed three of your kids, you may never not be. You may never not be a suicide risk. But once again, he did draw a line between being suicidal and being legally insane. And by the way, that is not a little line. It is a chasm. In his opinion, Lindsay was severely depressed. That's it. She was so desperate. She wanted to die, but she wasn't psychotic. And she remained criminally responsible for killing Cora, Dawson, and Callan. She knew right from wrong. She understood nature and consequences of her actions, and she could comport with law because she was just depressed, not psychotic. That's his opinion. Prosecutors then called another witness, forensic psychiatrist Dr. Gregory Satoff, who teaches at the University of Virginia and serves as a senior psychiatrist with the FBI's Behavioral Analysis Unit in Quantico. It's a good witness. Good bona fides, right? They say all that at the beginning. Sometimes people tune out because when a witness gets on the stand, the first thing you do is you go through all of their CV, all of their resume, and all the fancy things they've done and learned and cases they've done and learned. And the bigger the background of the expert, the longer that goes on. It's nice to get it all listed off, but it is kind of like perfunctory. Dr. Satoff told the jury that he has treated between 5 and 7 women who killed their own children, working with them to understand not only what they experienced, but how they learned to cope beyond the medications that they were receiving. Dr. Satoff explained that psychosis is not a single diagnosis. It can be a symptom of mental illness, substance abuse, or another underlying condition, and it can appear in several different ways. He said, some people experience hallucinations. Other people develop delusions or begin communicating in a disorganized way. And he said a person can be psychotic with only a delusion, without ever hearing or seeing something that isn't there. But when Dr. Satoff turned to Lindsay Clancy's claim that she heard a voice commanding her to kill her children, he focused on something he found highly unusual. Before January 24th, Lindsay had never reported hearing voices to any doctor. She never said a word about voices to any mental health professional either. According to her account, the voice appeared shortly before the killings, told her to kill the children, and then stopped as soon as all three children had been strangled. Dr. Satoff said an auditory hallucination appearing for the very first time and lasting for such a short and narrow window and then just disappearing immediately afterwards, after the command had been carried out, he said that was not consistent with what he had seen in his own clinical experience. In the patients that he treated, he said obeying a command hallucination did not make the hallucination simply stop. It just kept going. In most cases, the voice in your head keeps going. Dr. Sadoff also identified several inconsistencies in what Lindsay told him. And he said for that, it raised red flags. One involved a phone call between Lindsay and her husband, Patrick, on the night that the children were killed. Lindsay told Dr. Sadoff that she was making chicken nuggets for the kids right when Patrick called. But we know differently, right? We know when Patrick called, she was killing the kids. Patrick said that the kids had already eaten chicken nuggets before he left the house. There was a bowl on the table. The child was on the couch eating chicken nuggets. So the timing of all that is off. Is it significant? I don't remember when I made breakfast today. Was it before I started my email, after? I don't know. It could be very insignificant, especially with a massive trauma. But he raised this issue. He said that Lindsay also gave conflicting accounts of exactly when she first heard this alleged voice telling her to kill the kids. And when the central question in this case is whether that voice was genuinely a psychotic hallucination, the timing of when it began, it could be really important. Dr. Sadoff said that Lindsay told him she took Dawson to the basement and strangled him in Patrick's office. That was the first child. And then she said she went back upstairs and took Cora, the oldest, to a different room in the basement and then grabbed Callan. That was the sequence of the killings. The middle child grabbed first. The oldest child grabbed second. The youngest, the baby, grabbed third. So that order of the killings is very significant to me. I think it is to you as well. I think it's very significant to the case because Dawson is the middle child. He's three. Cora is five. Callan is a baby, 8 months. But Dawson, Lindsay had said in a Facebook group before that he was extremely difficult, like the most difficult human she'd ever come across. And I get that. I raised two boys. One of them was overwhelmingly difficult. Like I was beside myself with how resistant one of my kids was. And so this seems to me to be similar, what she said in the Facebook group, that this little three-year-old, and please, if you haven't had kids, don't weigh in on this because you don't know how extraordinary a tiny human can be to overwhelming your life. It is 100% possible. But she'd mentioned that Dawson was extremely difficult, so the choice of picking Dawson first to kill him and get him out of the way so that the next two killings would be easier. Obviously, the baby, they're completely defenseless. I say a five and a three-year-old are defenseless too, but she had said before he was extraordinarily difficult. So the order is important. So that's where court left off. I really believed that this would be wrapped up by now. I really believed that the case in chief and the rebuttal case would be done and that we'd be at closings by now. We're not. We are not. We still have closings and then charging the jury and deliberations. And the judge said that closings could actually be Thursday of this week. And again, I'm recording this on Tuesday, August 25th. So look, the jury is going to have a big decision real soon. They're going to have a huge moment when they're finally told, okay, ladies and gentlemen, you are excused to begin your deliberations. And then in they go to a room. And lest you think there's like instructions and all sorts of help and guidance, no. They are led into a room. That door is closed. And they got to figure it out. And 9 times out of 10, it's weird. Like, I guess humans are kind of similar in the way they behave as a group. But 9 times out of 10, what they will often do is kind of look at each other and say, should we go around the horn and just take a vote, like right off the bat, just to see where we're all at? And they do a lot of times. But then they'll at least know that they have to elect a foreman who kind of runs things, keeps things on track, you know? And then it is just a big old coffee clutch, big discussion. They are asked to be thorough, and so often these juries are amazing. They are so thorough. People wonder, what's taking the jury so long? And the truth is, they're going over a lot of their testimony, the stuff that they remember. They take notes. They will flip through their notes and discuss it amongst each other. Well, what about when he said this? Oh, I don't have that in my notes. Well, I do. And then you talk about it. Oh, actually, now that you say that, I remember that. Yeah, that is kind of weird. So deliberations are sort of like that.
Looking for your next thrifting experience? Check out the new Goodwill Columbus location in Westerville. Our new store is full of the latest secondhand selections with options rotating daily. From warm weather clothes to home decor, you may find your new favorite items just in time for spring. Each purchase helps us create opportunities throughout Central Ohio. It's shopping that looks good, feels good, and does good. Come shop at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
If your service light's on, trust the techs with the training.
That's us.
270 hours with zero complaining. They train under the hood. They train down in the pit.
Down here.
270 hours means their training's legit. It's the smart choice for smart folk who care for their steed. So trust the instant oil change that starts with Valvoline. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Change wisely.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
You know, everybody's recollections can be a little bit different, and everybody's reasonableness quotient can be a little different. What's reasonable to the guy over here is unreasonable to the guy over the other side, and maybe unreasonable to you. And so that's where deliberations are just so complex, but so magical, especially since we have so much consensus in this process. So the judge's instructions, when the judge instructs the jury, charges the jury, they will be very important because they're going to tell jurors exactly which verdicts they're legally permitted to consider, including whether any lesser included homicide offenses will be available to them. What we know is that the jury could find Lindsay guilty of first-degree murder, the top charge, the very most serious that they get. Carries with it a mandatory sentence of life in prison, no chance of parole. You've heard me say it. I'll say it again. It's called toe tag parole. In common vernacular, means you're not leaving prison unless you got a tag on your toe in a pine box. This jury could also find Lindsay not criminally responsible because of mental illness. That's commonly what we think of as not guilty by the reason of insanity. And that would not mean that Lindsay's going to walk out the back door, high-fiving everybody along the way. Not even at all. Not even close, nothing like it. But a lot of people believe that. A lot of people think she got away with it. Not guilty. Oh, my God. A lot of people think that. It is absolutely not what you think, if that's what you think. It means you are not guilty by reason of insanity, but you are going to that building under lock and key until a panel of medical experts can determine that you are actually well again. Can it be days, weeks, months, years? Yeah. Is it usually? No, not really. Maybe years, but not days, not weeks. Months, more than highly likely, no. Lindsay, if she's found not guilty by reason of insanity, could be committed to a secure mental health facility for evaluation and for treatment, and it could be for life. Could be. She may never get well again. Because imagine, you've killed your three children. Will you ever be well again? She does talk about one day wanting to compete in a wheelchair marathon. So maybe she has these goals and hopes that she will actually be out. And she is young enough. She could have another family. But again, it's not up to her. It's up to the medical professionals who will assess as a panel if she's okay to go. If the judge allows a lesser charge, the jury can also consider that. And if the jurors can't reach anything at all as a unanimous group, right, the result would be a hung jury. And then you've seen what happens after that. It's a mistrial. Well, before you get to a mistrial, if the jury comes back and says, judge, hate to tell you, we're stumped. We're locked. We can't come to an agreement. The judge does something that is, again, colloquial as dynamite charge, right? It means he gets up there, she gets up there and says to this jury, go back, try again, work harder. Go back over the evidence, have more discussions. Do not leave your sensibilities behind. Don't get bullied into something, but work harder. And weirdly, it works. 8 out of 10 times it works. It's so weird because it's like you'd kind of figure you're at your wit's end if you're going to the judge saying, we're done, we can't do it. They're not. Oftentimes that dynamite charge really does work. You might have heard it as an Allen charge in your jurisdiction. It's got different names in different states, but that's basically what it is. Go work harder, don't give up is what it is. But if in the end, after a possible dynamite, Allen, whatever you want to call it, if they come back a couple times and say, we did, we tried again, we've done everything, we are hopelessly deadlocked, well, then the judge often doesn't have a choice and says, I am forced to declare a mistrial. They hate doing it. And you know why? The amount of work, the amount of time, the amount of money, treasure, man hours, flights, witnesses, traveling, scheduling, all of that, all out the window. You got to do it all again if the prosecutors choose to do it all again. And in the case of a triple murder involving three little babies, they're going to do it again. They wouldn't just say, oh, you know, it didn't work out the first time, so the hell with it. Way you go, Lindsay, off to shopping at the mall. That wouldn't happen. I can really bet my house on that. They would have to go through it all again. So we got a lot of options and it ain't over. I just really wouldn't want to be that jury. That is going to be a heart-sick emotional decision that they got to make because they've been in that room. You and I haven't. It's easy to make decisions based off of internet headlines. It is really hard to make the decisions when you hear every single piece of testimony and you see that woman and you see those people on the stand. Very, very different. So I mentioned it off the top. I'll mention it again. I do ask subscribe because I will keep you up to date on everything that happens in the next few days. And I'm going to go on a limb here. If closings are Thursday, I don't think we're going to have a verdict before next week, late next week. I just can't see them all getting into a room and saying, done. I think they're going to go over. A lot of times, juries will make an initial vote and they'll find that they're unanimous, but they don't think it's responsible to just do it on a flyer. They'll say, okay, well, wow, we're all kind of, but let's go over all the evidence and make sure. They're really good about that. Juries are like really responsible. It's kind of crazy, right? All these strangers getting together and suddenly all doing the best thing they can, but they do. And so I would venture to say, I don't think we're going to have a verdict by next week. And if we do, late. Yeah. I was wrong about OJ though. Don't forget, subscribe. You'll get your updates. Like if you would as well. It really makes a huge difference to us. If you like and subscribe, it really does us a solid. And then join as a member. Would love to have you in our little coffee clutch. And in the interim, truth isn't just serious. It's drop dead serious.
Looking for your next thrifting experience? Check out the new Goodwill Columbus location in Westerville. Our new store is full of the latest secondhand selections with options rotating daily. From warm weather clothes to home decor, you may find your new favorite items just in time for spring. Each purchase helps us create opportunities throughout Central Ohio. It's shopping that looks good, feels good, and does good. Come shop at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.